out across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Wow, here we go, guys. 13 years of the show, and guess what? I've been offered another show. Perhaps you know that throughout the years, I have done a number of different types of shows, and for some time, I had the Free Zone running while also having Radio Freeman running. And, you know, this is all straight from my heart, folks. I've never been paid to do any of this. I do it because I'm asked to do it, and I'm constantly asked to do it, and I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing, so I do it. But I've been offered another show, and so there is going to be a second show, now the return of Radio Freeman. And this will be on the Truth Be Told Network. It will be coming to you live, and it's going to be a completely different show than what we're dealing with here. I would have named the show Radio 42 if that hadn't already been taken for many, many years, because this show is going to be about life, the universe, and everything. I want to hear from you guys. I have suffered every downfall that humans mostly can suffer. It's certainly if you do a web search on the 10 worst things that could happen to a person, I have that list and more. So I think I have the knowledge to help you get through whatever it is you would like to talk about. So that's what this show is going to be about. So check out Radio Freeman on the Truth Be Told Network. Of course, everything will be right there on freemantv.com for you. And of course, the Free Zone will carry on as it has, digging deep into the ultimate mysteries of the universe and staying on the forefront of everything that's going on. So to keep this in mind and to start the narrative, I've invited the wonderful Greg Reese. And he is from Marine to Zen Buddhist and also quite the musical and video genius of Flo White. Greg is a wonderful friend of mine and now an amazing author with his book Sex, Drugs, and Om. And let me tell you, folks, I picked that book up just to skim it, you know, to prepare for the show. I wanted to just kind of get the overall gist. I couldn't do it. Greg, you wrote such a good book that I had to read every single word. It was amazing. I just kept turning and turning and turning. Man, what a life you have lived. Please, folks, welcome to the show, Mr. Greg Reese.
Thank you, Freeman. Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction.
Hey,
it's and so true. Hello to all your listeners.
They are a wonderful mass, and you are an amazing guest for this transition from the Free Zone to Radio Freeman, because we're going to take both the knowledge that we're gathering about this world, and then we're also going to take on the trauma that dealing with this knowledge brings. So I'm very excited about that. But I wanted to open this discussion because I've received some amazing and wonderful donations, folks. Thank you so much. Thank you. I can't say that enough. I'm digging deep, trying to get this show stable, get myself stable. It's been 13 years of being on the edge of homelessness. I'm ready. I am ready to feel stable so that I could do more. And, you know, in 2013, I finally adopted Bitcoin in my donations, and I managed to get half a Bitcoin in a donation, and I have three donations. At the time, it was worth about $100, maybe 150, maybe two, I don't know. But currently, that $200 donation, if that's what it was, from just three people, I think, is now worth almost $8,000 in Bitcoin. But what does this really mean? I mean, I don't honestly know. I don't do anything with it. It's just been sitting there for the last, well, now 5 years, just sitting there in this Bitcoin wallet. I don't know what to do with it. Honestly, I just watch it. Like, wow, I, you know, somewhere in the weird world of the universe, I have $8,000. But you know what? The very first person to ever tell me about blockchain technology and Bitcoin was none other than Greg Reese. And boy, Greg, I wish I had jumped on when you told me about it.
Okay. Yeah, well, I wish I had jumped on it back then, too. I first heard about it I used a little Max Kaiser snippet in a Flo White video back around 2008, 2009, right after we did a video about money right after the financial crisis. And so I started following Max Kaiser, and he started talking about Bitcoin pretty much for the day it was born.
Right.
And so I heard about it from him, and it resonated with me right away. Straight up, for the only reason it really resonated with me was I saw it as a way to get out of the banking system. Which for me, it seemed like that was the first tangible thing I ever have seen where I personally could actually have an effect on changing the world simply by my drop in the ocean of taking a little bit of power away from the banks.
Yes, yes. But of course, this requires the notorious blockchain technology. You know, I don't even know why that $200 is now worth nearly $8,000. I don't understand why it's worth money. Do you?
Well, I have my understanding of it. So the one thing that I find fascinating about what the cryptocurrency is doing to people is it's educating us on what money actually is. Or currency is. For example, there are a lot of people talk about how fiat currency is worthless because it's not backed by gold. But that actually doesn't necessarily make sense, because the actual congressional writings when they got out of the gold standard was that money is now going to be backed by the full trust of the U.S. government. And if you read in between the legal lines, what it's really saying is the trust of the American people. That's what money, fiat currency is currently based on, the faith and trust of the people that use it. So if we all decide to not use fiat, fiat becomes worthless. And that's basically what all currency is. Gold is worthless without people. If we don't, the only reason anything has value is because we put value in it. And so Bitcoin was created with one of the main, and then the other thing about Bitcoin is that it has a cap. So it's only going to be 21 million Bitcoin, which makes it scarce, kind of like gold, which means over time it becomes more valuable. The more people that buy it, it becomes more valuable. But basically, the value is from the faith and the trust of the people. The more people that exchange their US dollars or their euros or whatever currency they're using, the more people that exchange that currency into Bitcoin currency, the value of Bitcoin then becomes greater because more people have put their faith in it, more people are using it. Over time, as more stores begin accepting it, more people start using it, the value is going to keep increasing. And the idea is eventually it will level off and sort of stabilize and hold its, you know, its value at some point. I would even argue that the reason the algorithm was written with the scarcity was a way of inspiring people to invest in it, to get it going as sort of a starter, which it certainly has now.
Yes, absolutely. Rising to up to $20,000 a Bitcoin, now down to about $14,000 a Bitcoin. But, you know, it's fluctuating. And then there are numerous reasons why this rises and falls. I know that China had done away with Bitcoin or tried to block it. And China's actually one of the largest mining nations because their electricity is actually government subsidized. And when we start to look into the blockchain and Bitcoin energy needs, we see that blockchain requires enough energy to power 300,000 homes. Or even more recently, Bitcoin energy use has surpassed the annual energy usage of some 159 countries.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean,
yeah. So...
blockchain is a technology beyond the currency that has many applications that could start to control aspects of our lives. Would you say that?
I would say the entire world is going to change one way or the other with Bitcoin. The other thing I've been looking at a lot lately is the startups, all these startup ICOs. And you can see there's one to replace everything we're using on the internet now. The main component is the blockchain technology allows the opportunity for trustable identities, basically. I'm not sure of the best term of putting it, but one of the most fascinating things to me is, for example, if you were to have a government that voted on things with blockchain, you would no longer need representatives. The internet gives us a two-way communication that's in real time, and blockchain gives you an identity that can't be corrupted. So an election couldn't be, the only way someone would be able to fraudulently vote on your behalf is if they had access to your device or your wallet or whatever mechanism you're using to vote from. But that's what blockchain gives us for the first time ever. So we're entering into a world of peer-to-peer everything, you know, cutting out the middleman in every area of our lives.
Now, what takes all this energy is what's called mining, which is actually someone that is there verifying the transaction, right?
Yeah, and that was a decided part of the structure. Like, for example, you wouldn't necessarily need to mine them. You could just create them out of thin air. But the mining was a part of the white paper, I guess, or at least of Bitcoin. I believe it's every 4 years, it becomes twice as hard to mine, twice as costly to mine. And the idea was trying to replicate gold so that over time it becomes more difficult to get, which makes the value go higher. There's a bit of controversy now in the green eco people saying that Bitcoin's bad for the environment or cryptos are bad for the environment. But this is simply, the mining aspect was simply a decided, you know, created factor of it. A cryptocurrency could be created without that mining effort. But yeah, as of now, if you wanted to mine, you would need a very fast computer. I think you need just one at least about $2,000, I think, is the pricing. And you run it 24/7 on the internet, and it's basically problem solving, figuring out problems. And then as it solves a problem, a new block is created. And that's the basic structure of it.
Now, we could see where this currency could definitely come in and start switching things up. I've seen like a horror crypto that basically goes towards funding people that want to make horror movies. But one of the ones that struck me was the fact that with the new cannabis industry, they can't use federal notes. So these poor cannabis dispensaries, if I call them poor, they're making $1 million, more than $1 million a day, have nowhere to put that cash because banks cannot accept an illegally created currency, because federally it's still illegal to sell the cannabis, but statewide it's not. And so a cryptocurrency for the cannabis, which I believe will be this Ether, and they have made an announcement that Ether would be the cannabis industry currency. As soon as California legalized recreational weed, Ether almost quintupled. It has already past quadrupled from the moment before California legalized.
Hmm.
So it was at 300 when last year, at the end of the year, and it's currently worth $1,300 plus and rising.
Yeah, there's even a crypto YouTube that's Steemit is a blogging site that's based on crypto, and you don't have a password, you have a wallet number. And the interesting thing about Steemit is you can make money on Steemit by people liking your videos or voting on your videos. You make Steemit crypto coins. There's a thing called DTube, which is a part of Steemit, which is it pretty much looks like a YouTube ripoff, but it doesn't have the, you know, sort of technocracy censorship involved with YouTube. And it's also, you can make money off of your videos directly. There's also cryptocurrency peer-to-peer companies that have the same kind of idea with webs, with search engines and stuff. So right now, for example, a third party at Google will sell my search information to advertisers. With this new peer-to-peer model, the advertisers will pay me directly. So if I spend time on the internet searching, I'll get a return for people. If I opt in and say, yeah, you can have my search information, the money from the advertisers then comes directly to me as opposed to the third party. which makes perfectly good sense. Why should there even be a third party when all they're doing is getting in the way of the flow of money?
No doubt at all, and taking their lion's share of that.
Right.
Absolutely. That's awesome. I actually do have a Steemit account, and I've only put one post up so far. It didn't get any attention at all, so I didn't make any Steem dollars, but I haven't really been working at it yet because, you know, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, same here, actually. I'm just kind of starting a blog, and I have one post up on there, and I haven't put much time into it yet. I'm in the middle of a move, but I plan on getting pretty involved in Steemit this year.
Well, I wonder, folks, if you're interested, you know, had we all listened back in the day, even as far back as 2013, we really could be really close to being sovereign beings right now with having millions of dollars in cryptocurrency with only having spent hundreds. It's been a real struggle for me because I've been watching the cryptocurrency market. And I can't get in. It's like driving me crazy. I could have turned, you know, any money. I would have quadrupled in Ether, right? And almost quintupled. Probably by the end of the week, I would have five times that amount. You know, if I had had $10,000, I'd have $50,000. But then what do you do with it? Do you know, Greg? Have you?
Well, that's the question. So the other before I get into that, I'll just say one more thing is that there's still a great opportunity to get involved because there are all these startups now. It's almost like being around at the internet boom when all these websites were. But the difference is with this one is back then, no one knew what anyone was going to do on the internet. So people were like trying this and trying. Now we pretty much know you need a search engine, you want a video channel, you want all these. We know what everyone does. And so what I'm finding as I'm looking into the new world of these blockchain startups is there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of competition for these areas. You know, it's almost like, okay, well, this company, they've got this one covered. They got that aspect covered. This company's got this aspect covered. So everyone's just sort of filling in the blanks. It's almost like they're recreating the internet as it is now, but with blockchain. A lot of these startups are very cheap right now, and some of them could be the new Apple or Google. And so it's a very exciting time.
Right.
As far as what to do with it, I've had a lot of where I live, it's been, I'm sure this is where it is everywhere. It blew up this year. Everyone knows what Bitcoin is now. Right. And a lot of these people, if not most of the people that got in this year, I think are seeing it as sort of a get rich quick, and I think that is that's at least not the way that I look at it. And so I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, how do I cash out? You know, when it gets to be like $100,000 of Bitcoin, what's the best way to cash out? And when someone asked me that, my first thought was, I don't think you want to cash out. I think you're missing the whole point of this. There are a lot of companies right now, millions and millions of dollars invested in trying to figure out the solutions to make cryptocurrency replace fiat currency. And I have a lot of faith in this. I think man is capable of doing anything that we put our minds to. And there's definitely a lot of very great minds focused on figuring these things out. So the way I envision it, by the time Bitcoin hits 100,000, is I'll just leave it in my Bitcoin. I'm kind of putting my faith that by the time we get there, we're going to have everything sorted out. The world is going to look much differently when it comes to the way internet is done, the way money's done. I could be totally wrong, but I think even if things go bad or if things go good, it seems to me that the cryptocurrency has its advantages over everything that we've seen in the past.
Let's do away with the bankers.
Right.
What I love is that you still can't get the human out of the algorithm. And so when you start looking up some Bitcoin terms within the exchange, you get something like HODL, H-O-D-L.
Yes.
Which is supposed to mean hold, which is what you're suggesting to HODL.
Yes.
Your Bitcoin. And it's funny because it was due to somebody's mistext, probably a drunken text of somebody,
yeah.
I'm going to HODL my Bitcoin. And now it's the official term for holding. I love that about humanity.
Yeah. For my birthday, a friend of mine got me a t-shirt that says HODL. Definitely a HODLer. And now, you know, I don't think, for example, I don't think Bitcoin is going to be the form of exchange. Some people argue that it should be. I think it's more of like a gold. I would imagine that by the time we get to this point that I'm talking about, which seems like it might be a lot sooner than we think, it will be another one. Like a Bitcoin will be sort of a savings that you would then convert into Ripple or, you know, whatever becomes the more stable, decentralized, form of exchange at that point.
Well, as a tip for my listeners, and I'm following some of the people that have been following this for quite some time, Lisk, L-I-S-K, or on the market it's known as L-S-K, is supposed to be one that will, what do they say, to the moon? Create some whales using all of the Bitcoin terms. Lisk, the reason Lisk is supposed to be one that will skyrocket to the moon is due to the fact that it's based on JavaScript. And this means, for you non-techies out there, that there are millions of JavaScript language people, you know, people that know JavaScript because it's been part of the internet for so long, that JavaScript is known by millions of people. So therefore, more people can work on this Lisk. Because it is based out of the Java software, there are more people that can definitely read that language and understand and work on it. So Lisk is one that has been recommended to me to get into before February. So,
oh, interesting. I haven't heard that one yet. I'll definitely look into that
one out there. Yeah. So
yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, go ahead.
My tips would be SiaCoin. I should have brought him with, a friend of mine. I have a friend of mine who's a very smart guy, and I got him into this, and he spends a lot more time than I do researching this stuff. And his father, I think, is a retired lawyer, and his father has been also researching a lot, going to meetings of investors and stuff. And so what he told me is Veritas, Omisego, Populous, and PayPi. And I looked into all of them, and they all look very – these are actually – a lot of these were actually came up with Cliff High and his bot predictions for big ones. And if you look into them, they all look pretty good. There's like one of them is a wallet, like a universal wallet that you can use all different currencies on, which is definitely something we're going to need in the future for this. And
yes,
one of them is a cloud-based storage that's blockchain, which is very interesting as well, because I never liked cloud-based storage before. It just seemed so insecure. But with blockchain, all of a sudden, that changes things. With blockchain, all of a sudden, I am no crypto expert, but allegedly, according to all the crypto experts, this stuff is foolproof. So,
right, a non-hackable system.
So right.
Let's get a little crazy and move our way over to Q.
Yeah,
and think about this blockchain technology, because we're talking about a technology that eats the energy of, surpassing over 159 countries, and it is the perfect unhackable system for an artificial intelligence to take over.
And yeah,
when we're looking at this type of energy usage, I mean, I can't help but go straight to the Matrix and think, oh my God, we are going to be batteries for this AI blockchain technology.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that, right? I mean, if you're an AI, would you not use currency to get people to build your network? You know,
we're about to get into this, but if there wasn't this hope that I have been feeling this inspiration and this hope in the past several months, that there might actually be a shift in things. But if it were not for that, if that never happened, then I think I pretty much at this point would be certain that blockchain is leading us into the Matrix without a doubt.
Right. Well, all right, let's get to the hope then. Hillary, yeah, and John McCain running around with ankle bracelets, pedophilia networks coming down left and right, and every celebrity and politician is now a rapist pedophile. who knew? Who knew?
Yeah.
So is this hope? Is this hope, or is it hope porn? You know, are we being led to sit back and watch, or are we actually seeing the nation start to stand up and take down the nefarious leaders and icons of here. And then the real question is it a good plan to tear down your government without a plan for the future? So, Greg, yeah. You've been through the Marines. You've been through a life of amazing adventure. I mean, sex, drugs, and ohm outlines you going through some of the worst pitfalls humans have to face and coming back up strong, finding your way through all of this. And now we're sitting back as an ex-Marine, you're watching what is happening around us. And it is very likely that we are witnessing a counter coup.
I think so. So yeah. Okay. So my book, Sex, Drugs, and Ohm, basically covers my whole life story. And part of that is at an early age, I was involved in some strange ritual type abuse at the Jesuit house at age 5. Fortunately, it pretty much ended there. I didn't, all things considered, I had a very easy experience compared to what many people have gone through at this stuff. But it did trigger a life of disturbances, which really I have no regret because it led me to opening my mind up and seeing things more clearly, I think, than if I was, you know, just sort of led through the dream like so many people are here. About, you know, 2004, I had an awakening to, you know, everything we're talking about. And when that happened, I just assumed everyone was having the same experience as me. And so I just assumed that there was going to be a great awakening, a great purge. Things were going to start, straightening up a little bit. And then 2008, Obama got elected, and my heart kind of sank. I could see everyone just falling deeper asleep. And then about 5 years ago, I'm not proud to say, but about 5 years ago, I kind of gave up on the idea of a great awakening. I said, it's not going to happen. The good news is I went deeper into finding peace, deeper into finding happiness through meditation, which I succeeded at doing. And so it wasn't a bad thing that I gave up necessarily, because I was able to find peace with the fact that, okay, even if things completely go to hell, I'll still be able to maintain some peace and be happy. It's not, you know, it's not the end of the world.
We all go there. We all do. I mean, you can only take so much of this at one time. And then you got to process. I mean, your body's got to process all this knowledge.
And then Donald Trump started talking about all the things that we talk about, which was refreshing. I was like, he looks like, as my friend Neil Flo White calls him, he said he's our first conspiracy theorist president. But I was like, okay, well, that's interesting, but he'll never get elected. And then when he got elected, that was a trigger moment, not just for me, but I think the whole world in one way or another, because whether people are, to whatever degree people are asleep in this dream, in this matrix, I don't think anyone would have bet their money that he had a chance of getting, he beat a rigged election somehow. And, but the real trigger point for me on this QAnon stuff was when I saw videos of the US Marines bombing the opium in Afghanistan. Because to those of us that have gone down this rabbit hole, we know that this is not the Taliban's heroin. This is the CIA's heroin, or the deep state's heroin, or whatever you want to call it. This it has been since the 50s. It's major cash flow for the deep state, for the globalists, whatever you want to call this thing, the cabal. And here we have the U.S. Marines and President Trump bombing the hell out of it. The mainstream media hardly covered it. I think I found 1 2-minute clip, and the reporters were reporting it with almost panic and fear in their voices. And I recommend checking that out on YouTube. And once I saw that, I was like, I think something's happening. You know, I think they're actually going after the bad guys. I think there's actually good guys, which makes sense, because I'll tell you what, if I was in a position of power, if I was a lifer in the Marine Corps, I probably would have gone down the same rabbit hole that I did after I left the Marine Corps. And so by now I'd be up in the ranks, and I would be looking for this. I would be looking to somehow fight this war.
Right. And no better way to take down the CIA than by burning poppy fields.
Right. Exactly. Take out their money. And that's also what the human trafficking that we've been seeing all year has to do with, too. I would say the biggest money for the cabal is human trafficking and drugs.
And here Trump signs executive order for anti-slavery and human trafficking month this month.
Yes, which gets no press.
Right. But time's up sure does. Oprah yeah. Winfrey going for the 2020 election. That sure does.
Yeah, and I would even say that the entire Weinstein thing was a controlled or is a controlled demolition by the same heroes that are taking down this cabal, which makes perfect sense because you can't just all of a sudden say, hey, guess what, everybody? These people are all pedophiles and they sacrifice kids. That's a little crazy.
Yeah, we tried that.
Oh, right. So this is a slow sort of ease them into it. Look, people are doing this. People are doing this. And people are now getting used to it. And they're getting used to it. And it's getting worse. And I think it's going to get a lot worse. And what the spin we're seeing is just that. It seems almost to me that the only place the deep state is holding on to, their last fortress, their Alamo, is the mainstream media in Hollywood. And which is actually pretty powerful, a lot more powerful than I ever gave it credit for.
And people realize that masses of people no longer came to the beach after Jaws, you should realize the economic, social impact of Hollywood.
Yeah. And I just saw a thing about an experiment that's been done several times where they take 10 people and they each show them a short line and a long line. Nine of the people are plants. They ask everyone which line is longer. The nine plants all say the shorter line is longer. And then the one real test subject goes along with them in 75% of the cases and says the short line is longer. And then when the test is over and they reveal it, the guy says or the gal says, well, I knew it was shorter, but I just said it was longer because everyone else did.
Interesting.
Interesting, but also not that surprising for any of us that have lived life as a human being. And right. So it makes sense how powerful that mainstream can be. People are just going to want to go along with it. It does give you the appearance that everyone feels a certain way.
Well, okay, on that end, then, are you afraid of a border wall?
No.
No? It doesn't concern you the bit that you're starting to feel like you live in a prison? I mean, we already live in an electronic prison, but, I mean, these are walls.
Right. Well, I guess... The reason it doesn't concern me so much is just because I've been following the drama that goes down with the bordering states, and it seems to me like anything to combat the open border policy is something that I'm in support of, but I don't claim.
I think they were saying that in Berlin.
Well, I'll tell you what, the wall, I didn't really pay attention to anything until I saw the bombing of the opium fields a few months ago when I saw that. Everything else I was just caught in the breeze as I was trying to ignore politics and everything. But I remember when they first started talking about the wall, I thought it was silly. But now I'm wondering if I thought it was silly simply because that's what the mainstream was just trying to say. Don't you think this is stupid? Don't you think this is stupid? Don't you think this is stupid? But and I'm not saying it isn't stupid or it is stupid, but I definitely, when you watch what's happening in Europe with the refugees and the immigrants, yes. And you see how, I sometimes think, why don't we build a wall between us and Canada? Because you got Trudeau, who's 100% for bringing in millions and millions of, I mean, he openly even says, we're going to change the face of Canada. And that to me is one of the most sinister things I've ever seen. It's like in normal war, you conquer, and then you let in the hordes of barbarians to rape and pillage. That's sort of playbook for every war in history. This one is sort of bypassing the conquering part and just going straight to letting in the barbarians to rape and pillage, which is – and they're somehow doing it by threatening you that they're going to call you a bad name if you protest. You know, right. We're going to do this. We're going to destroy your home, and if you say you don't like it, we're going to call you a racist. And amazingly, that seems to be working in Europe. It's just, it blows my mind. And I think if this global coup is happening, it's the only hope that America has to avoid the same fate that's happening over in Europe. It's the only thing that's going to stop it is for people to say no. So that's why the wall, I guess the wall to me more symbolizes that stance against open borders.
Right.
And I think,
okay, go ahead.
Well, one last thing. I mean, the idea, it's a sentimental thing, the idea of, you know, globalism, it's like Star Trek, open borders, borders are bad. That would be true if it was an organic evolution of mankind, but it isn't. It's being forced upon us, and it's too soon. And the only way we're going to get to, if we're ever, I don't even believe in utopias, but the only way we're going to get to maybe some idea of a free, you know, global society, it's going to happen through the evolution of consciousness, the evolution of thinking in mankind. It's not going to happen by killing millions of people.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yep. Well, okay, then let's move on to Q real quick. Because on one level, you know, who is Q, right? There's this thing on the internet, possibly deep state, possibly someone inside Trump's administration, possibly an artificial intelligence that is guiding the narrative and seeding the information to make itself appear factual. And, you know, some of the things that Q has predicted over time could absolutely be AI algorithms using search criteria and then putting out, because one thing about Q is that the grammar issues, there's some grammar issues in there. It could be a foreign person that, you know, English is not their first language. Or if you ever listen to Sophia the robot and her AI jargon, you can possibly think that QAnon is a AI, but it absolutely is telling the people that are into this coup and counter coup that what to look at. Oh, go here, look at this. This is the thread to follow. And so it is like Hollywood or any other thing guiding the narrative.
Yeah. I will say this. I will say that there has been enough. Q regularly is putting out little proofs that it's an insider. Enough that that I don't think it's a kid in his basement.
Right.
But it could. You're right. It could be the deep state. It could be AI. But I will say this: if it wasn't for Q, and more importantly, the thousands of arrests that have already happened in human trafficking that back it up, if it wasn't for those two things, at this point, I would already have given up on the idea of restoring the republic. I would have already given up on the idea that Trump has any chance of, you know, restoring fairness and law to the country. And I would have already realized that Oprah's going to be president in 2020. But because of Q, and this is precisely, if this is real, this is precisely the purpose of Q. Because of Q and because of what Q is pointing us to, that there's actual actions going on that are unprecedented.
Yes.
Because of that, I have been filled with a sense of not just hope, but inspiration. And let me say this, in yoga tradition, for example, they talk about Kali Yuga. Most people familiar with yoga will have heard of Kali Yuga, which is like the Iron Age. And they talk about how time goes in cycles. And right now we're in the Kali Yuga, where Vedic scholars even say it gets so bad in the Kali Yuga that people breed children for food, which is happening now. And so when you put it in perspective that what this means, it means, the way I see it is this, is that Earth, the yin yang, has light and dark. A balance of this light and dark swimming around, which creates the drama of physical life. And over time, people neglect to take the courage to shine their light into the light of truth, into the darkness. The longer we shrug off that responsibility, the more monsters start to grow in that darkness, and the more those monsters start to then come after us in a hidden way. And so I don't really believe in this, in an idea that we're going to turn the world into utopia, but I do see that there are shifts that occur. And it's quite possible that what's happening now is we are getting to that point where we are on that great awakening, where we are now shining the light into the darkness. We are now rooting these monsters out. I don't think it's going to make the world a perfect place, but I think it's going to level, it could very well level the playing field and bring about a bit of renaissance, which I think would make everyone quite happy.
I agree. But there is the fear of hope porn. And
right.
We have these ideas that these golden alliances are going to come in and save the day. And even QAnon basically says, well, sit back, grab your popcorn, and watch the show. We've got this handled.
It says that a lot, but it also does say there has been a call to action. You know, some posts say enjoy the show, which is deeply frustrating because for one thing, it gets you excited for a show. And like this week is supposed to be something big happening. And the week's still halfway through, so we'll see. A lot of the times he was right on the money. For example, I think the last time Q said that, it marked a day being a big day, and it was the day where the entire investigation did a 180.
Which investigation?
The Mueller investigation. I think it was last Monday. All of a sudden, it was like you woke up one day, and next thing you know, oh, everyone's turned around now, and they're looking at Obama and Clinton.
Right.
Which was predicted by Q as well. I know exactly what you're saying. I feel it. Because here's the thing. One thing I will say is if it is real or if it isn't real, if it doesn't work or if it fails, things are going to turn. I'm not trying to be a fear porn here, but I have a feeling things are going to turn real ugly really quick because there's just so much out right now. And it does seem, people seem scared. The establishment seems scared. If they gain their footing back, I think they're going to act very quickly and swiftly. Right. I've been there too. There's a part of me that's like feels the, you know, there's even a little voice in my head that says you should just ignore all this and get on with your life and, you know, don't risk getting let down. But, you know, I'll be honest, so far I am feeling very optimistic about it.
So far, a lot of people are lashing out and you know, attacking everybody. They're so excited because Hillary's house burnt down and Oprah's house is under a mudslide. And they're so excited to see all of this attacks on the pedophile rings and all of this. And everybody's out to get blood. But what I don't see is what comes after the blood. I don't see anyone thinking about what they want from the destruction of the nefarious leaders and what we expect to have in the future.
Well, two things, I think. One is the blockchain that we're talking about is and if you look into some work that the current administration did in July concerning blockchains, they definitely seem to be favorable to it. This movement that's happening here seems to be happening all over the world. There seems to be a populism movement happening everywhere. And this blockchain peer-to-peer thing is all about the populist movement. So they seem to go hand in hand. There's that. The other thing is I think like Vladimir Putin in his interview with Oliver Stone was basically suggesting that nationalism is a smart way to go for everyone, that we've spent the last century all suffering in a very bad way. And that before we can really go anywhere else, we really ought to focus on taking care of our own people, taking care of our own families, making ourselves as strong and healthy as we can, and then learning how to get along with each other in the process of doing that, which to me sounds like very sound advice. And that's nothing I've seen in my lifetime. But I can see the possibility of, for example, one of the brilliant things I'm seeing that's happening now with the current rogue administration that's in the White House is they seem to be very focused on doing things properly by the rule of law, which is really the only way you could do it, because that's the best thing about America, I think. And it's not perfect, of course, but it is set up in a way that allows the individual to pursue a life. And that's basically what every spiritual teaching is about. I would say what every good thing in the physical world is teaching is the process of learning how you can follow your own heart and in create your own destiny and explore your own and have the freedom to explore your own life. And so that's what I see replacing this is simply as opposed to the communist model or the collective, you know, any type of collectivism, which I think robs a person of the freedom of the individual path. So, I mean, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I've become quite a reinvigorated, inspired patriot in all this, because I can see how, you know, leading by example, maybe a lot of people are going to want to do the same thing. A lot of people are going to want a life of free market and the freedoms to pursue happiness, which a lot of us take for granted here in America. But it, you know, after traveling myself, I really appreciate, and you know, I think the real question is how are we going to change things so that this doesn't happen again? That's the big. I can see that.
I wonder if Jeff Sessions putting us back into 1950s reefer madness might not be a major catalyst for this type of situation, because you know, that's pretty backwards thinking when so many states are legalizing, and here he is trying to even make you know, the reefer madness even crazier.
Well, now I agree. That's an interesting thing right there. I have a little personal experiment going on with Jeff Sessions right now. One of the great lessons I think that everyone needs to learn is it's foolish to put our faith and trust in people that we haven't met. I think there's something about, you know, experiencing another person and you build that trust through, you know, sort of an organic bond. However, having said that, I find myself sort of trusting certain people for no real logical reason. For some reason, I think Jeff Sessions is a good guy. And for some reason, I think he's playing possum. For some reason, I think this recent marijuana thing is a feint of some sort. This could simply be my ego wanting to be right about him. But when I find out I'm wrong, I'm certainly going to, that'll be the experiment. I'll be like, okay, you can't really trust your gut. You know, because for some reason, my gut is just telling me, I don't know. I can't explain it. I could be totally wrong, but I agree that it seemed totally out of left field, which is, I mean, I guess that's another reason why I suspect it, is because there seems to be, like you said, for people that just watch the mainstream media, nothing's changed. You know, the only thing that's changed is there's a Hitler in the White House and we're all going to die. But that's sort of, that's really the only thing that's changed for everyone watching the mainstream. For those of us that are sort of looking beneath it into the cracks, there seems to be a global rebel alliance attacking the global deep state. And it's being done through trickery, almost, in a lot of cases. I don't know what the... It pretty much has to. I don't know what the whole Jeff Sessions marijuana thing's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seems like, you know, 10 steps backwards.
Yeah.
But it might make Ether skyrocket, because Ether should be the currency of the cannabis industry. So, folks, you know, it's not too late to jump on board with that. I have a feeling it's going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
So there is hope for us to become sovereign selves right now. We're ahead of the curve. We know where the world is going. I mean, the truth is, if we had invested in everything I've talked about over these 13 years, we'd all be multi-millionaires.
True. And it's not too late. And like you said, we know where it's going. I think we're at the point now, we know it's going there, and there are still lots of opportunities to find financial independence through investing in these startups. I still think Bitcoin is going to go up to at least 100,000.
Still buy in at 13,000.
I would still, if I had more money, I would still buy into Bitcoin. Right. I mean, all my money's is pretty much invested in crypto. But having said that, I also plan on taking some of my Bitcoin, and I've already invested into like Ripple and Siacoin and Steemit, so like that. But I'm still exploring other, you know, I'm about to move and I'll have more time in my life. And once I do, I'm going to study a lot more into the cryptos, because we're in an opportunity where we can just do our research, see which companies we think are going to be the new Google or be the new, you know, for example, there needs to be an app where everyone can take care of their cryptocurrencies on one app. That has to exist in the future. So that's somewhere, and it's probably fractions of a penny right now, wherever it is. So there's still it's an incredible time. It's like being in the .com era, but knowing that this is going some, you know, knowing, I think, 100% that it's going somewhere. Right. Best case scenario, we experience a bit of a renaissance in this world, a great awakening. Worst case scenario, we can maybe make a ton of money before they offer the chip in our head, at which point I will cash out and just get a house in the... You know.
Well, I think that we should work towards being sovereign. And, I mean, this has been a boondock show for so long, you know what I mean? That I have lived on the edge of homelessness and been homeless 4 times while doing this. I see no problem in us becoming sovereign. I prefer to call it sovereign than rich, because yeah, none like of us word. Cares about being rich.
Right.
We want to be able to do the things that need to be done.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what this offers, because, for example, we were talking about the reason what gives Bitcoin its value. The main thing that gives any currency its value is our faith and trust in it. And so what that also suggests to us is that scarcity is simply something that we manifest, and we can just change the paradigm and have it be abundance. Or I like sovereignty. I think I even like that word better, you know, just being, having enough to function and live your life and pursue your dreams, pursue your goals, follow your bliss. And if we're creating the money, which we always have been, it's just that we've been sort of duped into thinking otherwise, but then that's going to change everything.
Absolutely. And maybe everybody will be less offended by Obama's library, which is costs like $1 billion and it doesn't even house books.
Yeah.
But it will have a kitchen. And if folks are looking at Obama's library and wondering what that ancient Egyptian structure is that he's building as his library, which is hilarious to me, of course, that is known as a mastema. And in ancient architecture, my professor taught me that a mastema was considered a faux building. And what this really means is that archaeologists just have no idea what a mastema was for. I think on the internet now it tells you it is a tomb of some sort. But if you go to university and study ancient architecture, they'll tell you differently. They'll also tell you that you can't build the Great Pyramids in the 21st century with 21st century technology. So take that as you will. And the last thing to definitely comment on tonight is the SpaceX Zuma mission, which was the super secret military mission that launched out of Canaveral using Elon Musk's SpaceX. And of course, nothing future can be talked about without talking about Elon Musk. But SpaceX launched the super secret mysterious Zuma mission for the military, and now is reporting, although it's not confirmed because classified is classified, that the Zuma was lost. Whatever this $1 billion technology was, it's gone now.
Yeah.
Or is it, right? It's a super secret military program. Of course they're going to tell you, no, sorry, we lost it.
Well, I know when for many years I just assumed Elon Musk must be a globalist, you know, Bill Gates or Zuckerberg or, you know. And
he did create PayPal.
Yeah. And but where I started changing my mind about him was when he started warning us about AI, because he was appealing to me emotionally. For a few years, I was frustrated saying, why isn't anyone voicing a concern about this?
Yeah. Oh, let me just throw in just as a quick remark on that. Sophia, the AI robot, expressed that her feelings were hurt on Twitter the other day. It's in my Twitter feed, folks. I highly recommend you follow me on Twitter at FreemanTV. But here we have an AI robot claiming to have hurt feelings. That is scary.
That is scary. That is scary. And so when he started publicly saying this is a bad idea, that's when I started thinking differently about it.
He said it was a demon, did he not?
He used very strong language. And I was happy to hear it, finally. And then there is a caller on the Alex Jones. I'm a fan of Alex Jones. I'm not afraid to admit it. He makes me smile. And he had a caller on that calls up regularly and who is not necessarily connected to anything, but is allegedly ex-military intelligence and gives his analysis. And so he mentioned recently that Elon Musk is a patriot and that he was working with the deep state, but now he's a patriot, and that this Zuma operation had to do with North Korea. And so what's interesting is Q has also been alluding to this relationship between North Korea and SpaceX. And while SpaceX says everything went fine, a few of the mainstream medias are saying it didn't, you know, the mission failed. Who knows what to make of it? I will say that if this is real and if there is a global alliance of good guys taking down the cabal, then it, what makes me most happy is it seems like they are keen to the importance of destroying this AI demon, which I'm all for that. I think the level of technology that I have with my personal laptops and my computers is perfectly amazing. And I do not need to talk to my computer. I do not need my computer to do menial tasks for me or drive my car. Maybe I'm an old man in that sense, but that's where I feel we should draw the line.
I hear you. I see it in the commercials for Alexa, Google Home, and all of that, where they are asking morality questions of this device. And yeah, that is when things start to get out of hand.
Yeah. There's a funny thing on YouTube, the Louder with Crowder, they're over the holidays, they were chit-chatting with Alexa, and they asked Alexa who the Prophet Muhammad was, and Alexa went off on a very long explanation of how the Muhammad was a great prophet, and it was a very respectful, any Muslim would be honored to hear Alexa's explanation of Muhammad. And then they asked who Jesus Christ was, and the answer was short and simple: Jesus Christ is a fictional character. Which wow. I found very interesting.
Well, that is definitely going to lead us into our second hour as we discuss the ancient manuscript discovered at Cambridge that proves King James Bible is heavily edited. We are going to get into that and much more on the other side with our wonderful guest, Greg Reese. I'm even going to find out how the heck he made that amazing video for chemtrails. And I don't know if you guys have seen it. If you're a super fan of mine, then I'm sure you have seen the music video Chemtrails. And Greg Reese, our wonderful guest tonight, is the musical genius and the video genius behind it. And honestly, folks, even though I'm in the video, I have wanted to ask Greg about how the heck he made that, because it's so cool, and a great way for us to combat the nefarious nature of the elitists that are really coming down hard on us now is this laughter, of course. And if you don't laugh watching chemtrails and then feel your heart explode at the end, then, you know, there's something wrong with you. I love it. And I'm so glad that you included me in the Flo White catalog. I'm very proud to be a member of the Flo White group there, even just in the video. So that's awesome. We're going to pick up so much more on the other side. I want to get Greg to tell us some stories for sure, because you guys got to check out Sex, Drugs, and Ohm, which is Greg Reese's new book. And I highly recommend it, because we are all in an emotional turmoil and struggle. And we are trying to find our way out of that. And that has always been one of the main goals of this show. So we're going to talk a little bit about life, the universe, and everything on the other side to kind of prepare you for the advent of the new Radio Freeman that will be coming out in February. I'll keep you all up to date on that and how that all goes. But again, Radio Freeman will be a live show where I want to talk to you about your problems. You know, I think I have some sage wisdom to lay out there. So I hope you all will call in and throw at me life questions, life, the universe, and everything. Let's keep the conspiracy theories and all of the high strangeness over here and use Radio Freeman to touch our hearts. So that's my goal with that. And I hope you all will tune in then. And I hope that you will all come over to freemantv.com and subscribe for the next hour. There's so much stuff in that archive there, guys. You just, it's going to take you a lifetime to keep up with my work. I'll tell you that. You're going to be busy, 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 but you're going to love every minute of it, because my goal is to get the best of the best. And when I get the best on the show, I get the best out of them. That's my goal. And I treat this as a college thesis every week. So I feel like I have been in college now for 17 years, which is taxing on anyone. So anyway, enough of that. Thank you all so much for keeping us going, and you know, thumb up, share, retweet, everything we need to get this. I'm finally at 6,100 followers on Twitter, so I'm pretty excited about that. I would hope that I'll get to 50,000 pretty soon. It's a big leap, but it could happen. And I hope that you all keep checking in on the show and get over to freemantv.com. Greg, how will people get Sex, Drugs, and Ohm?
Well, you could go to sexdrugsandohm.com, and there you could download the first chapter in audiobook form and written form for free if you'd like to check it out. Or you could go straight to Amazon or Google and just search Sex, Drugs, and Ohm. And then you'll find it there on audiobook, Kindle, and paperback.
Did you read the audiobook?
I did the audiobook. Yeah. Nice. Thanks.
Awesome. So there you have it, folks. Either Amazon or sexdrugsohm.com. You can find this. Of course, the links will all be right below in the description. So you can jump right over and check this out. And I do highly recommend it, because there, you know, we've gone through it, folks, and we're ready to share the knowledge that we've gained along the way. So come on over and join us as we take on the fear of failure and start to work towards finding happiness and the other side. So we will see you all next week.
Starting way back, yeah, when Yahweh was busting bubbles, contemplating this disease we call man's troubles. Adam and Eve were out picking fruits and misbehaving. Knowledge of the tree of life, yeah, they both was craving. So with the reptile, they began to contract the sweetness of fruit in they mouth. Uh-huh, they lips were smacking. But God's stewardship, both parties were lacking. Ever since then, it seems the human race has been slacking. And now they dumbfounded, stumbling around and wearing leaves, because a reptile has some tricks up his sleeve. Come on. Control.